He is the host of Babbittville, an inductee into both the USA Triathlon Hall of Fame and the Ironman Hall of Fame, and the co-founder of the Challenged Athletes Foundation. It's time for another edition of Talk Story with Bob Babbitt.
The honeymoon. What makes Chrissy Wellington the most dominant Ironman triathlete on the planet? It might have a little bit to do with how she spends her offseason. It was 1 year ago, the winter of 2009, and to all six of them, it sounded like a heck of a good idea. They're all gathered in Argentina for the wedding of Augustina, a.k.a. Tina, and Sebastian, a.k.a. Seb. Recently crowned two-time Ford Ironman world champion Chrissy Wellington and her longtime friend and world-class mountaineer Billy Beerling were staying at Tina and Seb's home in the city of Mendoza. The wedding itself was a few hours away by bike, so Chrissy and Billy mounted up and rode 3 hours to the ceremony on their mountain bikes. "We had our dresses in our rucksacks," laughs Wellington. When the party was over, Billy, Chrissy, Tina, Seb, and their friends Rada and Helen took off on their mountain bikes on a journey that none of them would ever forget. Hey, they figured, why not rent a few mountain bikes, grab some sleeping bags, panniers, and tents, and spend some time together riding over the Andes? What a memorable way to spend Tina and Seb's honeymoon, right? What started out as an adventure honeymoon, I don't even know if Tina invited us on a honeymoon or not, but we went anyways, remembers Wellington, had led to this six-pack of friends trying to make it over, around, and through a mountainous region and over a pass that had never been mountain bike before. "I never want to imply that Ironman is easy," Wellington recounted later, "but definitely some of the toughest experiences I've ever had have been in the mountains. What I love about these adventures is they represent sport at the absolute rawest. We are out there on this adventure simply for the love of the sport." This was the way the woman who has never been beaten at the Ironman distance and now three-time defending Ford Ironman world champion spent her quote-unquote vacation. What started out as a Jeep track became sand and then basically petered out to no trail at all. "We were bushwhacking over glaciers with 65 pounds in our panniers," continues Wellington. "I was beginning to question this whole honeymoon malarkey. There were times we averaged only 2 kilometers per hour for 10 straight hours. We weren't covering a lot of ground. When they ran in the rivers, they couldn't get around. Tina pulled out ropes, carabiners, and pulleys so that bikes, people, and equipment could eventually be pulled over the top to safety. On day 5, way behind schedule, the group totally ran out of food. We went up to this farmer's house who was living quite happily without having the six of us in his life," Wellington recalls. "We told him we were out of food, and he offered to slaughter one of his goats for us. The next thing we know, we're at his table eating his goat." Eventually, after 7 amazing days in the mountains, the honeymoon was complete. Mission accomplished. Chrissy Wellington, athlete, philanthropist, and adventurer, was now rested, recharged, and relaxed. Another exciting vacation stored forever in the memory banks. It's the summer of 2008. And 2007 Ford Ironman world champion Chris McCormick is having a knockdown, drag-out, one-on-one battle with Nico Llanos of Spain in Frankfurt, Germany at Ironman Europe. During the week leading into the race, McCormick and the 2000 Ironman world champion on women's side, Chrissy Wellington, had become friends. "We spent some time talking. She's really such a positive person," remembers McCormick. The run course in Frankfurt loops around. At one point, the men ran by the lead women. "When I run by Chrissy," McCormick continues, "she started running with me and cheering. Way to go, Chris. You're running great. Who's in second?" I could barely breathe, and I yell back, "Llanos, he's right behind me." So now she's cheering for both of us and continuing to stay with Bonico and I. Everyone knew Chrissy was a special talent, but after she ran with us for the better part of the next mile, I realized just how special. How special? She won the first Ironman she attempted, Ironman Korea, in the late summer of 2007, and she's yet to lose an iron distance race. That's 3 times in her own Kona, 2 times in Australia, and 2 times in Germany. In Kona this past October, she broke Paula Nevie Frazier's 17-year-old course record and went 8:54.02. At Challenge Roth, she took nearly 14 minutes off the existing course record and went 8:31.59, the fastest time ever for a woman in an Ironman distance race. In Kona this past October, she was the first woman off the bike and proceeded to pass 17 male pros to finish 23rd overall on her way to a course record. Getting passed by a woman in a race is known as getting chicked, and Wellington is leading the league in doing just that. Her rise to the top of the sport has been meteoric, to say the least. Before she went to Nepal in 2004 to help with water quality in Tibet, she did her first triathlon in England. She borrowed a wetsuit and a bike and rode in running shoes with cages on her pedals. Her shoelaces came undone during the ride and wrapped around the crank as she came into transition. Wellington fell over sideways before getting up and starting to run. That was pretty impressive first race, don't you think? She asks. After returning from Nepal, she invited her parents to watch her compete in England's National Sprint Championship. She again borrowed a wetsuit and she never had tried it on before race day. Big mistake. It was a schoolgirl error, Wellington admits. The water was really cold and when I jumped in, the wetsuit flooded and I froze. I had to be saved by a kayaker. That was an auspicious start to my career. Her coach, Brett Sutton, saw something in Wellington before she did. It was her ability to push hard and suffer for long periods of time. What event would those qualities connect well to? Bingo. Sutton set her to Ironman Korea, and the rest, as they say, is history. The first time she won in Kona in 2007, very few triathlon journalists had ever even heard of her. When she met Dave Scott, Mark Allen, Paul Amy Frazier after a race, three of the legends of Ironman, she had no idea who they were. But Chrissy Wellington is a quick study and has quickly realized that she not only has a talent for going long, but she can use that talent to impact others, especially young girls. When I first started working with Coach Sutton in February of 2007, she says, I told him I didn't know how long I could stay in this sport because it feels so self-indulgent to be out running, riding, and swimming every day. He told me that I can use triathlon to make a difference, that the more I achieved in it, the more I can achieve outside of it. I want my legacy to be more than fast times and records. I want to educate and empower people, especially women, through what I accomplish in triathlon. And she has. She has helped to support a group called GoTribal.com that helps women get the tools they need to give fitness a chance. She has also used her platform as the world's best Ironman athlete to create exposure for the Blaze Man Foundation. John Blaze was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, and Chrissy became close to John, his dad, and his mom, Marianne, before John passed away 2 years ago. She log rolls across the finish line to pay tribute to John and the cause, and after her latest win in Kona, that picture ended up in Sports Illustrated. She was asked why she rolled and seized the opportunity to direct inquiries to Blaze Man Foundation website. When I first won the Ironman World Championship, I didn't understand the significance of the event and the win, she admits. I do now. Back in 2004, Wellington, tired of her desk job working for the English government, moved to Nepal in the Kathmandu Valley to try to make a difference. I managed a water sanitation and healthy project trying to pilot a new approach to delivering sanitation that powers the beneficiary, she explains. I also wrote articles and papers on the impact of the conflict in the region on poverty, wrote research proposals on natural resource management, edited papers, and did a little bit of everything. Her pay? I made a grand total of $80 to $100 U.S. per month, she admits. It was in Nepal where she met Billy Beerling, a kindred spirit and her soon-to-be BFF. The two would get up and go for early morning mountain bike rides that tested both of them. In Nepal, the trails are washed away and you have potholes that you and your bike can simply disappear in, says Beerling. Because the water quality was so bad, we spent a lot of time standing over our handlebars with our stomachs cramping from Giardia and having parasites in our belly. Because the water quality was so bad, we spent a lot of time standing over our handlebars with stomachs cramping from Giardia and having parasites in our belly. Chrissy feels that the cycling there made her strong because of the altitude, the nasty trails, and the fact that most of the time we'd be riding despite being sick as a dog. In 2005, the two did a 1,000-kilometer mountain bike ride to the Mount Everest base camp. A lot of that was more of a mountain bike push than a mountain bike ride, says Beerling. It was bloody tough. Beerling knows a little bit about tough. The woman reached the summit of Mount Everest in May of 2009 and was part of Sebentina's honeymoon adventure last winter. She has asked to sum up her friend to analyze why Chrissy Wellington has taken the sport of triathlon by storm and destroyed every record and every athlete standing in her way, all the while with a smile on her face. What makes Chrissy so successful, she says, is that her physical strength is out of this world, and her mental strength and ambition have never changed. At the end of the day, she's still the same woman who I rode the Kathmandu Valley with. Chrissy told me once that these adventures that we go on make any race seem so much easier because in a race, you know what you're doing and you know what you have in front of you. But when you're out in the wild, you never really know what might be awaiting you.